Blog Talk Radio.
Didn't help, but that's the true Pedro as a little baby.
Just judged it like second Gluck's Grotto of Holland Creek Lake.
Evangelista, who was for a long time Miguel Cotto's trainer, and now that they have that rift and, you know, really getting serious, let's say, a few times, and now he basically fired his uncle, and now the father and the brother are talking. It kind of reminds me of the Mayweathers.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's like the Mayweather situation, and,
as if boxing doesn't have enough drama already.
Right. The situation we talked about like a few weeks ago, you never know, like, what's this other guy who's, that's been with Dota for a long time, you don't know, you know, has he absorbed a lot of, you know, those training methods that have been successful, but with a better, more, you know, harmonious personality, or is he just not going to be experienced enough? And then, on the flip side, did you see where, they have to have Michael Moore leave?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was that. They threw some president out he threw a president out of Manning's room, and Manning was like, what the hell is his problem? So they had to stop working with him. They said they wanted to work with him again, but it was kind of weird, I guess. Like, obviously, the dignitary, whoever it was, president of some country or something.
Yeah, got people out of the room and stuff. But, I mean, I've seen stuff in the gym at times, and I'm sure, Rich, I'm sure you might have seen this in Petra Alley's gym also. You'll see a time where, like, somebody will come in, and I know what John Cavalli's talked about, and he and I have talked about this on Facebook. People come in and, you know, when you're in a boxing gym, it's not like you're at, like, an LA Fitness where you have to come in and show your card or sign in or anything. You're in a boxing gym, you just generally come in. And sometimes you have these guys there, and they just, like, hang on the ring, and they say to the trainers and everything. I remember a time, like, I'd sparring or whatever, and I would, you know, a bell would ring, and a little bell would start trying to give advice. I don't know who the hell you are. I was at an amateur show, Rich, about 10 years ago, and it was one of my old teammates, Rocky, who were a teammate for about a year, and he was fighting in the amateur finals contest, and he actually lost to a Prince Body Ajahnu, who's a professional now, Fort Roy Jones. And in the fight, whenever I was talking to him, and you know, catching up a little time, so I hadn't seen him in like 3 years. And I said, yo, man, I said, I was out at the time of the hand injury, and torn ligaments. But I said, yeah, I said, I'll be cleared to start training again in a few months. I said, you never want to come down to, you know, Barry Ames Rec Center, maybe we'll work together. And his trainer came over, he said, what's wrong with you? Why are you talking to my fighter? And he said, yo, man, don't worry about it. He said, no, he made my way. We used to box together, we used to train together up at Los Angeles University. Deserve a decision to put the pressure on.
Tyrone Brunson on that card, he's light middleweight as well. It's going to be a 10-round fight. I believe it was Zane Medina, he's only 15 and 15. trying to get him to break his record of consecutive first round knockouts. I think he's playing guys 3-14, and then now got it through the year before them in the 17 play. 1-6, 1-11, 5-12. And I understand if he would ever match play like that, after that 5 or 6 points, he lost, pick up their, competition. And after he went to bank, he had the next play where he was able to, escape the draw. And then his last play, he finally took a big step up. The guy doesn't have a great record, but he's been a contender by the name of Marcus Primera. Marcus was a contender. Marcus actually broke out to Jermaine Taylor and some other pretty good top-class fighters. Had a record of 20-19-2, but that was a guy that Brunson had to beat over an 8-round decision. That's a good step up for him. A step up he maybe should have taken around an 8 or 9 point.
So Saturday we have one big fight at the Montreal Casino in Montreal, Quebec. It's a middleweight fight between Sebastian Mears, 29 and 2 with 11 knockouts, and Nicholson Pillar, 13 and 2 with 6 knockouts. That's going to make it an ABF single middleweight title. Watch out. High stakes. Cannot forget the big bang heavyweight fight going on this weekend in Nuremberg, Germany. Stopped getting incessant emails about this Nikolai Valuev, David versus Goliath, they call it, versus David Hang.
Yeah, that's a good weekend.
Yeah,
sir. Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I want your prediction.
My prediction on this one is David Hay is going to win by knockout. He'll be the first guy to knock out the live value at the first game.
Okay, I mean, that's possible. I
see Hay winning the fight. I've watched the value at fight a few times. It was like, when he first started, it was like so damn big. And I was like, oh my god, he's got to have all this power behind him. But then you step and you think, you're like, well, he is kind of big. Maybe he's like that kind of like slow. Then I finally got to see him fight. I saw, you know, clips on the internet of his fight with my friend Gerald Jedi Nobles. Nobles was kicking his ass and got disqualified. I saw clips of Valuev's fight with points of John Ruiz. That guy in that brought the whole thing. I think like a couple of the ones that I actually watched in full fights were, I think you're fighting a Monty Barrett.
It's Barney Nobles, the big man.
I think Hay is going to beat him, and stoppage is going to be late, like after the 8th round, maybe the 9th or the 10th, but most likely I see Hay winning a decision here.
He'll win by flying headbutt.
Flying headbutt?
Yeah. His strategy is going to be to clinch and bite the hair off Valuev's chest. So then Valuev will bring his hands down to his chest, and then a big rock of a head.
How can he possibly block that entire thing?
What he has to do is he has to be unconventional. He has to go to the body and literally do that. Bring the hands down to the body and then just start chipping away at the head. He's going to have to move around the body. You've got to get some good angles. Throw some haymakers.
I talked to a trainer that worked with Gerald Nobles in his fighting against Nikolai Valuev. Valuev is a guy, he's physically strong, he's kind of got like that, like some of that acrobatically, which is what Andre the Giant had, or that like a giantism disease. And you can tell, like, just by the size of his hands, the size of his head, the size of everything. But that's the thing, like, you can tell he has like almost no mobility. A fighter that tries to stand and compete right into him, he's just going to engulf. And whether he's just trying to clinch him, or he's just trying to, you know, muscle him in there, that's a hard way to fight him. That's why a guy like John Ruiz will never beat him. Because Ruiz is kind of like a jab and grab kind of guy. And that's not going to work against a guy that can just, you know, keep on that muscle, you can pound on you. That's why a lot of people call it Holyfield beat him. That's why, Rustin Chagayev beat him. And that's why Gerald Nobles was beating him. Because they all use their footwork. They came in, they danced, they used angles, they got on the side, and then they just ripped the shit out of his body. And his headshots when he went down a little bit. But they put the onus on hitting the body, just step in, took it to the side, rip two body shots, and then throw an overhand right to the head. And then dance away. That's what you beat, and you don't stand in front of him. You don't stand in front of him, he can't hit you. He's not fast enough to catch
him. Well, I mean, if Evander Holyfield can give him a match that was so controversial and stirred up, debate amongst the Nick, then I think David Hay is much younger, obviously much more skilled at this point in his career than Holyfield was when he faced Valuev.
That was the Holyfield of, say, 1992 in there against Valuev, or even even 1997, when he was beating Mike Tyson and all that, he probably would have murdered Valuable.
But the thing is, at 46 years old, he doesn't have the stamina that he used to have, he doesn't have the reflex that he used to have, and a lot of people, one guy that I was reading a blog on had him winning 118-110 Holyfield. So, obviously that's saying something there. A lot of people know the way to beat this big guy. You can't go straight into him and try to beat him that way. You beat him by the side. It's like old adage. You see a brick wall, but there's openings on both sides of it. Do you run through the brick wall, or do you simply go around it? Simply go around it. And that's the way you beat him. If you don't run into him, you run around him. That's like fucking playing football. Refrigerator Perry lined up there. You know, the guy can't move. He's 400 pounds. Are you going to run right into him, or are you going to do a cutback and go around him? You're going to cut back and go around him.
You're just swimming.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I think our value of his run as a circus freak is over. That's pretty much every time you hear about him fight, it's what people talk about. And, how they turn him into a boxer, we'll never know. I don't know. It's tough work, I think. But I just don't think his skill is there, and I think it's unfortunate that we have these freak Russian guys just sitting on the division, day-to-day. He's from somewhere other than Russia, so I'll be happy to see him again. Bill Chase James.
I said this about a year ago, before David Haye came into the division. The fact of it was, I always thought Valuev would have been a good point for Vladimir Klitschko. Could be Billy Klitschko at first. He was just coming out of his retirement, and he was fighting Samuel Peter. And I forget if Vladimir just fought, I forget if it was somebody like Hans Schwachmann or whoever it was, the fight wasn't all that impressive. So that real boring fight with Sultan Abragimov. And people were reading it down on Vladimir Klitschko. And I said, if I was his manager, the guy I would call out right now would be Valuev. Because people see Vladimir playing these real cautiously. Even when he was beating guys like Rockman, who he ended up stopping, he was way too cautious to play. And I was like, what I would tell him to do was go out there, fight. Challenge the guy bigger than him. Okay? So now people say, you're not the big guy anymore. You're challenging someone bigger than you. And then you go out there and you knock him out. So people will get behind you and you're the role of being a fighting Goliath. And then if you go there and you slay him, you don't jab him out boxing. You go there and you fire a right hand and you knock him down, drop him, put him on the canvas. Then you're going to win back a lot of your following that has been leaving you over the last few years because you don't think you're too afraid to fight anymore. But that didn't happen. Vladimir's going to fight Eddie Chambers. Vladimir's going to fight David. Vladimir was going to fight David. Hey, that didn't happen. Definitely put Rockman in his place, and that fight was just zero. It was just a massacre. As it was expected to be.
Speaking of massacres, Sergey Lyakovich is back as well. I'm just going to say that.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of a massacre of his own, Nikolai Valuev himself. He lost to, what was the unanimous decision?
Shannon
Briggs. That was a great fight.
That was
actually.
He was winning the fight. I actually fell asleep, and I woke up for the 12th round, and that's when Briggs knocked him out with 4 seconds to go, and it was so, the last round was so exciting, because Briggs was, totally trying to win the fight, he's crippled and trying on the card, and they put him in, to let Hogan stay up, and then Briggs knocked him out of the ring, knocked him out, I was like, wow, that was really exciting, the first 11 rounds sucked.
Anyway, I think Jeremy
talented Amanda Holyfield is? Amanda Holyfield knocked out Jeremy Bates like 3 years ago in 2 rounds. Nancy Serrata knocked him out in 2 rounds. But Serrata got beat. Can we talk about that last week?
Yeah.
I think he got knocked out by, what's his face?
There's going to be an injury there. If Kimbo steps in, it'll be a good fight. I know that I heard that Mike Tyson and Don King are actually getting along now.
I heard they're being a buddy buddy again. I know I was going out on the Nintendo World website and was really on like huge comments from those people who were very, very critical of my PlayStation 3. Got Don King back. Bill Gates and Jimmy Jacobs. And I know recently
you know, some of the things Tyson may have said about Jimmy Jacobs were not as flattering, but what he had said back in the late 80s, early 90s was, he didn't like Kane, he never did, but he always liked Jacobs. Jacobs, of course, died suddenly, like right after, I think it was the Tony Hutt fight, like March of 88. And it was when Jacobs died, and it was just Kane. That was kind of easy for Don King to kind of weasel his way in, because Tyson didn't like Kane anyway. And granted, they made a lot of money, but I think King was getting the businessman there. So he's used to make money, and when you're not making it anymore, you want to take a step, get the work. I mean, the story about Don King was back in the day that he had, it was Michael Dokes. And Michael Dokes got knocked out by Pierre Cotin. And Dokes, when he was like, damn, I just remember opening his eyes and King stepping over him to get the Cotin and, Jerry Cotin, and Donkey was stepping over Dokes' body just to get the Cotin, you know, congratulate him and just confirm his way in there. You know, so, when it comes to Don King, I mean, was it all Don King? Oh, no. I mean, Tyson did a lot of stupid things on his own. You know, Great Desert in Washington? Well, I don't think Tyson did either, but that's, you know, beside the point. You know, did Don King bite off a portion of Vanna Holyfield's ear? You know, did Don King go on ABC with Robin Gibbons and her mother? No. There's a whole thing that Mike Tyson did, so, you know, we can't blame King for everything that's gone wrong in his career.
I read somewhere, actually last night, I think it's in my links, my Combat Sports links, last night, there was a video, not a video, but there was a video too, of Mike Tyson talking to a crowd around some memorial to some boxers in Great Britain. I guess Tyson's on the European tour right now, so he must have a real cool probation officer. Got some shit going on with court. But he's everywhere now. And he ended up in an interview with this very aggressive reporter over there in Great Britain. And it's on the blog there. We've got time to look at it later. And it's in the Combat Sports Legion last night. And I was laughing my ass off when I read this. And I didn't see the actual interview. I'd love to see it. But I guess this guy, you know, I'm thinking he's hard charging, and, you know, he could sue if Mike Tyson ever came after him, decided to get a little cheeky with Tyson, and started pressing him on some personal questions, and asked him, you know, about, you know, whether he thinks he's changed completely or at all, and Tyson said, you know, pretty straightforward, and he was like, well, I guess I have changed, because back then, I would have been assailing you right now.
Well, at least he's not about it.
Yeah, it's funny how he just, like, you know, he comes out of nowhere with his madness sometimes. I mean, he always used that choice word, you know, ludicrous. When he came up with that one, ludicrous. When did he come up with that? This time he said
assail. Don't worry, he came up with that button. I can't remember what it was. I'm here.
And I guess Tyson's manager tried to intervene and stop the interview. And another reporter that was there at the scene held him back, and he said, no, he can handle himself. It looked like a pretty nice one. It looked like really emoted him. But cooler heads prevailed. Anyway, for mixed martial arts stuff this weekend, we of course had the Fedor versus Brett Rogers. Brett Rogers is kind of like it's the Grady Brewer story almost. You know, not Grady Brewer. It's the guy that went to contend with, worked at the tire factory.
Yeah, Grady Brewer.
Was it Grady Brewer?
Yeah, because he's the one he beat on Steve Forbes in the finals.
Okay.
And he's on a great record. In fact, early in his career, he had a 2-round knockout loss to Kelly Kaplan.
MMA version of that. We have the greatest heavyweight who ever lived in MMA, according to most experts. And Fred Rogers, a guy who worked at Sam's Club Tigers. And he became an MMA guy, now he's 10-0. And kind of has the same physique as Fedor. Not really built like a truck or anything, not muscular, but just a big oaf looking dude. And I think Brett's a little bigger than Fedor, but Fedor has a lot more experience. So I don't think anybody's picking Brett to win unless they're hoping to really win by a long shot. But Dana White has come out and said that he can sign Brett Rogers if he beats Fedor. So we'll see how powerful Strike Force is if that happens. And Brett has to reorganize his contract. Jake Shields versus Jason Miller is going to be the main event, actually, on that one. Or not main event, but the championship fight is. For the Elite Championship. That's going to be Saturday, November 7th on CBS. It starts about noon, I guess. Also, very exciting light heavyweight. Probably the only guy I could see giving Anderson Silva a run for his money. Egard Mousasi is going to be fighting Remo Cherry Sopucci. And Mousasi's last fight, he just totally blew apart Renato Sobral. Just slugged him out and just, first like 30 seconds of the fight, you guys done. And we have Fabricio Verdun versus Antonio Silva on that card. A female fight, Roxanne Monteferi versus Marlos Conan. Jeff Kern versus Dustin Nice. Mark Miller versus Taria Davis. Shamar Bailey versus John Kowalski. Lewis Taylor versus Nate Moore. And we also have a Challenger Series event tomorrow night. Must be on Showtime. Strike Force Challenger Series 4, Jorge Gurgel versus Billy Evangelista is going to be on the top of that card. Shane Del Rosario versus Brandon Cash. Jesse Taylor versus Luke Rockhold. Jesse, you might remember, was a Jesse the Ultimate Fighter. Got drunk on the last episode. Of course, it was like the one episode I didn't see that season. So I never knew. I never found out exactly what happened. I think I found out, I guess he kicked out a window in a limo, but I never actually saw the episode. So he blew his UFC chance. He's fighting Luke Rockhold. Usman Thomas Diagne versus Warren Barrett. Alicia Helsker versus Zoila Frausto. Ben Holscher versus Johnny Go. Casey Olston versus Chris Cully. Cole Escobedo versus Royce Giesel, Cleveland Rittering versus Rico Montalbano. And then for other events, we got Shinto Australia going on, Superfight Australia. That's going on tomorrow night. Gladiators Cage Fighting Strength and Honor is going on tomorrow or Saturday at the Wisconsin Products Pavilion in West Allis, Wisconsin. Mega Fight 4 is going on Saturday at the Bento Gonzalez Municipal Gymnasium in Rio Grande, Brazil. And we have Sengoku 11th Battle in Tokyo. Also the 7th. Rage in Cage 136 in Prescott Valley, Arizona on the 7th. Martial Arts Challenge 3. Gold Coast Police and Citizens Youth Club of Broad Beach Waters, Queensland, Australia. It's also Saturday. And then Campinas Fight in the Campinas Tennis Club Gymnasium in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Saturday night. Desert Rage 6 in Yuma, Arizona at the Kokopa Casino. Saturday. Last fight on Saturday in Mayfield, Queensland, Australia, we have Tuffa MMA fight night. Tuffa.
they can get away with that in the United States. Suffolk down there in Australia can get away with it. Then we have a couple things going on Sunday. One in Japan. Pancreas changing towards 7 at the Azalea Taisho Hall in Osaka. And then we have Gladiator Challenge Never Quit at the Sobova Casino in San Jacinto, California. Of course, the next big UFC fight is going to be next weekend. It's going to be a free event. It's another one of those things they do in England, so for some reason it's always free in the United States. You can cut some of that due to the tape delay, so no point in pay-per-viewing something when people might find out beforehand what the results are going to be, I guess. For some reason, I think that's those are the cards that they have the most expenses to put together. They have to bring their whole show over there. Anytime they go overseas. So that's interesting. You know, they must lose a lot of money when they have to do that. I know when they went to Germany, it was pay-per-view. Every time it seems like they go to the UK for some reason, they can't do pay-per-view. Well, we'll see. I think that's the first time they haven't tried to one-up a competition of moving Fedor versus Rogers event. They're just going to be showing UFC event reruns instead of putting on an actual event like they did with the NXT a few times when they tried to do their CBS shows. Other than that, I think that's about it. We were talking about Don King earlier, and forgot to mention Rodney King, who we actually did an interview with.
Yeah, that's right. I wish I could have been on that call with you guys, but it was a good thing I was, because two things. Number one, I had to go out that morning. And number two, I was so damn sick I could barely breathe anyway. The whole crowd over there, and it was. I think it would have marred your interview. I mean, I feel a lot better now. I'm going to take some cough medicine tonight. I got some really strong stuff, so hopefully it'll. I want to hear a joke, Rich.
Okay, sure.
My father. I think you ought to go to the doctors. I said, you want me to go to the doctor so I get the really, really strong cough medicine and you can take it when you got a cough. Well, I said, why don't you go to the doctors? Because we both have like the same thing. Why do you tell me to go to the doctor? I'm the one that's not working right now. I can sit home and relax. You're the one that's working. You're the one that needs the help.
Well, I was going to say that you could have probably talked to Rodney in person because he was in Philadelphia when I was talking.
Was he?
Yes, it just so happens that he's taking this seriously. He's working with a guy, Marty Feldman,
Pennsylvania
boxing legend, he says.
I know Marty. I know Marty. He was the trainer of Prince Charles Williams, former light heavyweight champion of the world. And Marty's son, Damon, is a former tough man fighter and a promoter in the Philadelphia area. My dad is not a big fan of Damon Feldman. Because what Damon likes to do, Damon likes to throw, my dad, I'm not as traditional as my dad is. I'm still a traditional boxing fan. But my dad, he doesn't like chunks with fringe on them. He doesn't like tassels. He doesn't like, you know, my dad, if you see him, want body chunks, white trim. That's it. And, Damon, what Damon does do, because like Damon's done some tough man competitions. He's done stuff with professional wrestling. He's done stuff with hockey. He tries to put too much entertainment value in. We went to one of his fights a couple years ago, and he had Butterbean on the card fighting an exhibition. He had a guy that was a former professional hockey player, what was like a dude, so he was getting him sick for a fight. And everything, and it was like between each fight they were having, like, just all these gimmicks. My dad was like, I don't want to see any gimmicks, I just want to see some boxing. I'm never going to watch his cards again, damn it. And then the main event was the guy that he was really trying to promote. The guy at the top, like, 15-0 with 15 knockouts. But you could tell that the guy was a very limited fighter. He was fighting mostly setups. And the guy he fought that night was actually, he didn't have a good record, but he knew his way around the ring. So he knocked out the favorite, knocked out like 5 reps, beat him up pretty bad, and then stopped him. Damon had a test for steroids. Kind of hanging over his trunk there, and he said the guy was on steroids. Well, I'm getting rid of this call because it's cash cow, now welcome.
Well, when Rodney's being very angry, he's seen that. Anyway, Rodney is prepared. It seems like he's doing this all the right ways, you know, putting everything into it. And the best part, I guess, one man around, which I just love. Can you imagine one man around?
Can you imagine one man around? Actually, when they do these tough man competitions, especially guys that are like not experienced fighters, those what they're around are. They're like 1 minute around, 1 minute break. And these guys are, they're gasping. I was watching, because sometimes they'll show them on like a local channel, like not a Boston, but like a CNA type channel in the Philadelphia area. And they're like, oh, they're showing tough man competitions. They said, we'll watch them just like, because they've heard them come out swinging. And in 20 seconds, they're like, can't hold their arms up anymore. They're gasping. And that's why. Cause you have a lot of these people that they don't know how to pace themselves, they don't know how to breathe. They don't know how to fight. More than the number of fights you had, we had a lot of sparring sessions. So you go in there, you know sometimes when to turn the juice on, you know sometimes when to back off a little bit. You know when you're tired, so you kind of know when to take a breather, and when you're still doing something, you know how to, you have to exhale when you throw a punch. And if you don't, and they're going to counter it and hit you in the gut, you're going to, you know, you're going to get the wind knocked out of you. A lot of these guys don't know how to do that. They just come out wailing. It looks like, you know, like a guy washing clothes on the mold machine, just like pounding up and down. And that's why they run out of gas. That's why they're only 1 minute rounds, because they figure if it's any more than that, they're going to be done.
I'm going to be at the Sheridan Springfield's Monarch Dallas Hotel.
One. So when my friend Kevin got killed, he was a boxer here out there in the California area, and I was training with him to get ready for my came out of rehab, but I missed him. He had been dead for like a month. But he was out of time. He was going to be a little training from him to get ready for that. So, but sporting that me an hour ago, I asked, but he was already dead, man. I'm always going to be a little hot, but I'm supposed to hang out with him. You know, he's like, he's going to hang out for the dog, but it always has been. And when I was coming up, the boxing gym where I just got taken out of schools, but they were all supposed to go out of the schools. That's why I always had a gym where I was able to, you know, fix the gun race around
it. Hey, this match with Officer Powell there, can you describe the situation that gave rise to that and why it fell apart?
Well, unfortunately, that was like a mistake in our history, you know, and being more than positive, civilized human beings, you know, got caught up in a racial, you know, the moment event, and he was looking at like some of the work that had been done on this part of the earth towards racism. He was looking at some of the last of it being done in 1991. And I was wrong, but, you know, I did drinking and driving, but that's what I was saying about that one. But anyway, I got a bank on November 6th, and it's going to be real fun. I'm in front of the Kevin's keep myself busy, taking his last night, energy product, he was putting in the place of a lot of, you know, herbal vitamins and pills and all.
Well, it seems like of all the celebrity boxing folks I've heard of, it seems like you already, from what I've heard, take it more seriously than anybody it seems. So, sounds like you're doing a good thing.
I'm sorry.
Sounds like you definitely know what you're doing.
I don't, but I've always been around it all my life. The older kids, when Joe Louis and watching him, I was watching the Joe Louis Bible with dad when I was a kid when he sat down on the table.
Can you talk a little bit about being a boxing fan in general? Do you watch any of the MMA at all, too?
I'm just glad to be down in this part of Philly where some of the top contenders just came out for. And there's a few OGs. The guys that, like, basically invented the sport and down here still have a thing. So I'm just, like, happy to just be to see some engine down this way anyway. It's one of the oldest sports around. My biggest thought out to, you know, these guys that, you know, came up with the dance and the whole thing of boxing. Some of the old guys are still alive. So it's a pleasure just to be in this presence. To learn something. And it's a different sport. It's one of the sports where all the other sports is pretty much all the way. You still got one more. Oh, yeah. The Tom Brady. Okay. Jim. But the guys, they got a club and all these guys, you know, they got a fight up, it's going to get in the middle, you know. In boxing, you don't have to, I'm in the handicapped division, but believe me, I was, some coil coming in the street, they got another network. I call that the handicapped division, and I respect the game of boxing. That's more boxing than that. It's the whole SCP has down, it's when somebody has to come up early.
And on this card, they're fighting with Jose Canseco on the same card. It's like, is there anybody else interesting that you've fought on the same card with and then Soul Circuit or talked with or dealt with?
Well, right here, I'm just looking at it like that. I'm looking at it like, I'm doing my thing here. You know what I mean? So, or if he can just, whatever comes out of, you know, they've stuck to their own trigger or whatever trigger they have. Thank you.
was not happening. I'm trying to make it come back at 32 here. Just got to take care of money. That's flawed. That's slow. That's still out of it. You know, protect yourself. So, defense. I'm going to keep down here until you tell you what's that deal. You know how I'm thinking. You call that over the phone. But by the time I really appreciate having it. I've seen it. Just keep back up. I'm taking it right back.
Yeah.
Which day you're fighting now? That'll be November 6th. November 6th, you know, don't get dirty. I'll pick it up more on RunningKing.com.
And have you found that the, you know, the extra media attention over the years and all that kind of forces you to have to be more of a role model in everyday life? Obviously, with the TV show now, that you're getting into this, is there a lot of extra added pressure to really do well and, you know, get that first round knockout?
Yeah, I came with a guy up here in
Anthony Petronelli. He's one half of the training team for Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And there's no substitute for that kind of knowledge from a guy like that. They pick up the little things. It's funny. You know, you get in there and you brawl for 2 rounds with somebody. And then I get out. I got my butt kicked by this one kid, and all he's talking about is my shoes. When I come to think of it later, and I'm like, it's probably my footwork is why he was noticing my shoes. My footwork wasn't good, now that I think about it. These guys are trained to find those little boxes.
And it's a trip, you know, because once you run into one guy, you know, it's one thing, and the other one goes,
you've got quite a substantial record of your involvement with us.
All right.